broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. That bears repeating because it shows our true intent. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. First order of business, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had on our buddy Larry Pratt, formerly with Gun Owners of America. Now he's retired, but he's always up for the discussion of all things liberty. That's what we did. We talked about CNN, now officially the Hate Trump Network, Washington Times. Yeah. A CNN staffer can be seen in a newly released undercover video created by Operation Veritas, or James O'Keefe and crew, calling out his own network, listen carefully, for propaganda and boasting that the cable news giant successfully removed former President Donald Trump from office. Look at what we did. We got Trump out, said Charles Chester, a network technical director at CNN. Okay, that's what he said to an undercover journalist from the political action group, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe and crew. Anyway, that's a serious business, folks, and I submit to you that it's treasonous. And I talked to Larry Pratt about that. He was a little bit hesitant on calling it treasonous, but he did say it was wrong for sure. My next guest, Michael Peruca, doubled down and said it was treason, and we got to... Now, Michael Peruca, constitutional attorney, don't you know? Literally said, we got to put a stop to this, man. We cannot let these secret combinations get above us. We must take action right away. They're destroying the country. Now, no conspiracy theory at all. U.S. calls for, they say, a pause in one COVID vaccine, but I don't think it's a pause at all. I think that's a lie. Johnson & Johnson vaccine halted is the better phrase that should be used in the U.S. over what they say is a rare clotting effect. I don't know how rare it is. That's what's being investigated. Yeah, late last month, Johnson & Johnson, by the way, had another problem. The company discovered that workers accidentally contaminated a batch of vaccines, forcing them to throw away a ton of millions of doses of vaccines, putting the whole factory in doubt. So Johnson & Johnson taking a beating. Both the CDC, though, and the FDA have launched investigations into the vaccines causing blood clots. J&J and the AstraZeneca vaccinations made with the same technology. Both vaccines are now being under investigation for clotting incidents. Now, they say that it's temporary, that it's just a pause. But here's what I know. That's a lie, and I'll prove it to you. Either they know the outcome of the investigation, and they're already going to just schnooker you and not really do an investigation, just play games. Then they can say, well, it's temporary. They'll be back after we run the scam, run the fake investigation, come back, tell you that all is good. And therefore, they would resume vaccinations, right? However, what if they do a real investigation and it comes back that it is way worse than they thought? It's not as rare as they thought. It's a very big concern, and therefore, vaccines aren't safe to come back on the market. Then they wouldn't be temporarily halted, would they? No, they wouldn't. So either they're lying to you and they're going to conduct a fake investigation and they know that the outcome is going to be no big deal, no harm, no foul, turn the vaccines back on. We're just doing this for political theater and show. Okay, that's one case that they know it's not a real investigation, so they already know the outcome. The other one is they're lying to you, because how do they know until the investigation's complete if it's temporary or not? See how I said I'd prove it to you? Yeah, the government says anyone who has recently received the vaccines and who's experiencing symptoms such as headaches, abdominal pain, leg pain, shortness of breath, should contact their doctor. Anyway, I guess it's CVST is the illness that people are getting from this thing. Cerebral venous sinus thrombosis is what it is. So I just want to be clear with you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be offensive or too abusive to your government, but look, they deserve it. Don't tell me that you've temporarily halted the vaccines and then tell me you're going to do an investigation to find out the truth. Because if the investigation leads you to then bring back the vaccines, fine. You could say it was temporary after the fact. But when you halt the vaccines because of concerns, and then you're going to investigate the severity and the details, how do you know it's temporary? Either you know the outcome of the investigation, you're going to come back and say no harm, no foul. It's not a real investigation. So you know what the results are going to be. Or you're lying to the people. Either way, you're lying to the people, right? In one case, you already know the outcome of the investigation, so it's a sham investigation. In the other case, what is it? You're saying, we don't know the results of the investigation, but it's on temporary hold, and the vaccines will be back, what, regardless if the investigation uncovers the truth that they're more dangerous than we thought? See, how can they make a claim that it's temporary? See, that's just bogus news reporting. All right, second hour, we had our buddy Michael Perutka, 2004 presidential candidate on the Constitution Party, well-known attorney, founder of Institute on the Constitution, The American View of Law and Government, theamericanview.com is website, summarized in the Declaration of Independence. The American View of Law and Government states three things. One, there is a God. Two, our rights come from God. And three, civil government is, the whole purpose of government is to preserve those God-given rights. So there is a God, our rights come from God, and the whole purpose of government is to secure our God-given rights. Join our mission to restore the constitutional republic through education. Here's what you got to do. You got to pray, you got to study, and you got to act, says Michael Perutka. And by the way, he's the newest Liberty Roundtable consistent co-host, if you will. The second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, he'll be with me. Great stuff from Michael Perutka, theamericanview.com. Rand Paul boldly stepping out, doing a great job too. Here's what Senator Rand Paul says. Throw away your masks and burn your vaccine passports. Amen to that. We also heard yesterday on the broadcast, women seeking an abortion pill will not be required to visit a doctor's office anymore during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's the latest reversal in the ongoing battle over the murder medication. So we're talking about RU-486, abortion pills. You don't even have to go to a doctor. You just go online and kill your baby. Now, you can't go online and have an alternative view of vaccines or go online and say, I believe that there was an insurrection at the Capitol, but it was by government insiders, not by the patriots. You can't go online and have your own opinion. By golly, they'll shut you down here. But if you want to go online and order by secret murder medication to kill your baby, by all means, says the Biden administration. I mean, we live in a sick, sick society, ladies and gentlemen. All right, without further ado, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, listen for free, and share it with your friends, would you please? If you have the heart to help, donate liberally as well. By the way, this half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt Crosby. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call or text 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or finally, you can go to localhoneyman.com for raw honey delivered directly to your door. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Eldon Stahl with me, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, jbs.org. TheNewAmerican.com. Welcome back, my good friend.
Oh, thank you. Great to be here, Sam. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, there's so many things to talk about, so little time to get it done. Let's start with the first interesting thing, in my opinion. The U.S. Capitol police officer who fatally shot the veteran, Ashley Babbitt, during the January 6th riot at the Capitol, will not face any charges after an investigation into the incident, the Justice Department said. What do you think about that? No accountability for the cop that shot Ashley Babbitt at all. They said, hey, there's no proof that he unreasonably acted. Therefore, no charges. You comfortable with that, Eldon?
Well, I don't really know the situation around that, what, you know, all that officer faced and what their protocols were. But so I know a lot of people want to say, okay, let's throw the officer under the bus and, you know, try them and all that. But certainly there should be an investigation anytime there's a use of force, especially deadly force. And, you know, that's something very serious. But, you know, sometimes that's necessary.
Now, here's my problem. I don't have a problem with the process working, and I'm not here to judge the process if I don't know all the details, etc. I agree with your wise point on this. We need to not throw people under the bus. We need to get the facts and the details, which we don't have, so it's very difficult to judge. What I don't like about it is we don't have any transparency, though. We don't know the cop's name. We don't know any history of this police officer. We don't really have the details of exactly what, you know, how it all went down. And that's something that, you know, it's debatable whether it should be shared in detail with the American people or not. But I find it very interesting that almost every time the cops just get off, everybody else at the riot, you know, supposedly was terrorists and without any evidence. In the court of public opinion, we barbecue everybody else, but we're going to protect the cops in this case without any transparency. That, to me, is of great concern. When we come back, we'll have Brian Rust join, get his opinion on that as well, plus an Honest Money update on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl, JBS.org, Brian Rust, RustQuantumGift.com, all on your radio, man. The think tank doesn't get better than that, does it, folks? So, Brian, just before the break, I was mentioning, you know, they shot this Ashley Babbitt girl, a veteran, at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th. And nobody knows the name of the cop that killed her, really, and there's not really any transparency. Now they say, hey, the cop's not going to face any charges for that at all. There's no evidence that he acted irresponsibly or anything like that. So the Justice Department says, hey, no charges. Normally, I understand and I accept the process of things. You know what? Let the courts do their job. We don't have all the internal details, so we can't make a judgment on this. But to me, there's kind of an issue of transparency here. Everybody else that went to the Capitol is guilty of insurrection, just like Donald. But yet the cop that killed somebody, literally killed somebody, we're not even really going to dig into it very much. We're going to quickly look and go, hey, no harm, no foul here. But yet there's not really any transparency for any of us about what really happened, etc. We know the mainstream press lied about a lot of the events of that day. They've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar. What do you say to all that, Brian? You comfortable with that?
Well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, but isn't that the way things are running and have been running for the last two or three years, four years? Because it seems like transparency is very evident on one side, but on the other side, we're just going to tell you what we want you to know or hear or whatever, and no big deal. No accountability.
Eldon, you want to respond?
Well, perhaps another angle to this, if we compare this to what's gone on in Minneapolis with this whole thing with Mr. Chauvin, obviously everybody knows his name, and he is going under trial. But with the incident at the U.S. Capitol, it seems like the media just said, well, it was a Trump supporter, so she deserved to die, and we're not going to question this. And the other thing is that you're talking about local police versus somebody that is, national police or somebody that works for the federal government. So it seems like the media has this implied bias against people that are local police officers and saying, okay, let's just agitate for riots and things like that over the death of somebody that died at the hands of a local police officer and, somebody that was part of this intrusion into the U.S. Capitol, no big deal. So it's very different treatment of the different situations.
Yeah.
You want to respond to that, Brian? Because I agree. He's got a valid point, and I have a problem with that. That's my whole point, is that the contrast is amazing. One, we get every little detail that the guy ate, a burrito for breakfast kind of stuff. But yet on this other one, there's nothing, buddy. It's like, wait a minute. Hold on now. Let's, have accuracy here. In media, let's have accuracy in reporting. And you know what? Let's get to know the details a little bit better. Anyway, I just have concern when that lack of transparency is there. There's no jury appears. There's no real details. It's like, hey, you know what? We're guarding the hen house. We're the fox that we investigated. No hen problems in here, And it's like, what? Anyway, I don't want to go on about it forever, but I do find that very concerning as we find out there'll be no charges whatsoever.
Well, yeah, I think Eldon is right. I mean, they kind of pick and choose. They don't want to talk much about this, but we're going to push this. The media basically is pushing whatever their, that agenda would be. Our local area here, we have a lady cop that's, going to go to, she shot an individual with her gun instead of a stun gun, and kind of, they're saying, okay, well, let's dive into this, not so much the credibility of the individual, but the same thing. They're picking and choosing whatever they want to do, and it's just sad that we're kind of in this boat, tell you the truth, and no one will step up and say, well, wait a minute, let's look at all the things, it seems like the Republican or the right or whatever, they seem to just, I don't know where they all are. It would be nice to have some of them step up and try to hear their voice.
Well, and that's the problem. Government has created this kind of reality check of we can't trust them. And that's part of the problem, too. If government had demonstrated over and over they do clean house, they do have transparency, they do have accountability, then, I would trust them when something like this occurs. I'd be like, I don't see that there's a reason not to trust them. But half the time, Lavoie Finicum comes to mind. The guy's dead, no accountability. Randy Weaver's wife, Vicky, dead, no accountability. We see Waco people dead, no accountability. Government's just killing people quite a bit. And every time we see scandal, we see cover-up, we see, and therefore the trust is just destroyed, Eldon.
Yeah, one of the things to point out is that, at the local level, for police, there are a number of different layers of, you might say, investigation that can be done into an incident for an officer. Now, there probably are a number of layers at the federal level, but the thing with the federal officers, say U.S. Marshal or ATF or something, actually getting that accountability is more difficult because it's more removed from the incident. And you might say it represents a larger number of people, so there has to be a larger movement to try to get that accountability. when it's local, it's something that's you can get the, of course, the Attorney General of the state involved. You can get the local county Attorney General and the local board of officers that investigate those and professional conduct and all that. More difficult at the federal level.
Good point.
Sadly true. The further away government is from the people, the less accountable they are, is the quintessential point here. All right, let's get a quick update on constitutional currency. How's honest money looking?
Your paper gold price today is $1,747.50.
$1,747.50.
About the same as it was last week, maybe a couple dollars down. Your silver paper price is 25.65. So up a couple, 10 cents, 5 cents, something like that.
All right, silver was what again?
25.65.
25.65. Now, the interesting thing about that is how much does it cost to buy a silver eagle, silver dollar? It went down, right?
No, it's still staying around that $38, $37, $38.
Hey, now, hold on a minute. How does that happen, man?
Yeah, demand.
It goes down by spot, but yet, demand. That crazy demand idea. You mean the supply doesn't meet the demand, and if we had more supply, it might fulfill the demand? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Eldon, what do you think of that idea? Hey, the reason that spot went down is because of manipulating the dollar or whatever, and the reason it didn't go down in the real metal is because this thing called demand, Eldon.
At first, I thought you said the man, like, stick it to the man.
Well, the evil man is causing it to go awry, that's for sure as well. Now, what was gold at?
1747.50.
$1,747.50. So anyway, I find that whole thing fascinating, though, Eldon. It's the demand factor. Hey, you know what? When people want that coin, there's so many people who want it. It just drives the price through the roof.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. Without the government intervening in the free market, then supply and demand actually works like supply and demand is supposed to work.
And imagine that. You know, I personally. Yeah. Want the real dollar to stand up, though. I just want to go up to Joe Biden because we're in the era where we're rejecting fake news, don't you know? So I want to go to Joe Biden and hold up a silver eagle, silver dollar, 2021, printed by the United States Mint. Then I want to hold up a single Federal Reserve note dollar, peddled by the Treasury, through the Federal Reserve, through whatever banking cartel. I just want to say, will you please tell me which one the real dollar is, because it takes me 38 of these suckers to buy one of these babies. And I just kind of need to know, will you tell me the real dollar, please? What do you think Joe would say? Ryan first, I guess.
will the real dollar please stand up? Is that what we're trying to... That's right.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
But I want the president of the United States, the man who is literally saying we got to have honest news and we're going to shut down everybody that's peddling things that he doesn't think are fair or good or whatever new. Hey, let's answer this question. We can ask that to Congress. We can ask that to all, 9 Supreme Court justices? Or how many do we have? 7? 9? 15? Or is it going to grow? How many Supreme Court justices do we have there? Okay, let's ask them all, though. Let's ask all the judges. Let's ask the president. Let's go ahead and ask all members of Congress and have them all answer the question. Which one is the real dollar? Because, the government creates both of them. We have 2021 paper dollars and 2021 Silver Eagle coin. Minted dollars. They both say a dollar on them. Somebody's lying, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice to see. Yeah. I'd do that game show where the paper dollar guy stands up and the silver dollar, the old silver dollar Morgan guy stands up, Silver Eagle guy stands up. Yeah, I'd like to see that, sure.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl with me, JBS.org. Brian Rust with me, RustQuittingGift.com. We are talking about Liberty Roundtable Live's Honest Money Report, live on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
48-year-old Kimberly Potter, the former Minnesota police officer, has been charged with second-degree manslaughter in the shooting death of Dante Wright. Ms. Potter shot Mr. Wright as police attempted to arrest Dante for an armed robbery warrant after a traffic stop. Potter is out on bail after posting a $100,000 bond. Her first court appearance is scheduled for Thursday. A group of House Democrats is expected to announce a bill on Thursday that seeks to add four more seats to the U.S. Supreme Court, expanding it from 9 to 13 justices. Earlier this month, President Biden made another executive order, this time forming a commission to study expanding the court. Representative Matt Gaetz, the Republican from Florida, announced Wednesday a six-figure ad buy for a spot that takes aim at CNN as part of a plan to help him fight back at mounting sexual misconduct allegations. Gaetz is under federal investigation following sex trafficking allegations, and the House Ethics Committee also opened an inquiry. USA Radio News.
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it, too.
Trump is right. Millions are tuning into Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for real news. Some polls give Joe Biden a high job approval, even 60%. Now Newsmax is asking if you agree with that. Do you really approve of Joe Biden, his policies, and $4 trillion in spending? And do you think President Trump did a better job? Let us know. Vote in the Newsmax poll right now. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just a minute. Let America know who you like better, Biden or Trump. Tens of millions are watching Newsmax TV, now on all major cable systems, smart TVs, and OTT platforms. And vote now in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. Let your voice be heard, and watch Newsmax today.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the United States is continuing to monitor the buildup of Russian troops at the Ukraine border. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
That buildup is now estimated at 80,000 Russian troops. Speaking from NATO headquarters in Brussels, Secretary Lloyd Austin was questioned about the proliferation of Russian troops at the Ukraine border.
We continue to monitor very closely the activity there, and we continue to consult with our partners. As you heard us say earlier this evening, we call upon Russia to cease their provocations and to be more transparent about this recent activity.
Earlier in the week, Secretary Austin announced more U.S. troops will be deployed to Germany to strengthen deterrence in defense of Europe.
As of today, Russia continues to illegally occupy Ukraine's autonomous Republic of Crimea. Russia and Ukraine share 1,426 miles of border. USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust, RustCreditGift.com with me. Eldon Stahl, TheNewAmerican.com with me. Ladies and gentlemen, income tax ought to be top billing for discussion as well on the broadcast. I mean, after all, it is the Honest Money Report. Income tax, it is tax day. Although I guess what happened is the day kind of got moved and jacked around because of the cocoa, don't you know? So they delayed it. Most people don't have to pay taxes on April 15th this year. They moved it back to May 17th for a lot of people. But if you own a business or whatever, it's not so simple. You still might have obligations. So beware, my fellow Americans. Anyway, very interesting, this direct tax day on income tax. Direct taxes were forbidden by the founders. And the income tax, interestingly enough, is part of the Communist Manifesto. Eldon, you want to start there real quick?
Well, that should be where all the thing that ends the discussion for any freedom-loving American realizing that a direct income tax is something directly out of the Communist Manifesto. And that should end the discussion, right? But
You would hope, but not in America. We seem to love communism as Americans. Don't we, Brian?
Yeah, there you go. Let's get in line.
Yeah, it seems
sadly,
that way.
If you really put the Communist Manifesto side by side with the Constitution, you will be shocked at which one we seem to be in love with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, very true. I mean, you could bring up the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. That's the government schools with free tuition and all that. That's something that just the average person will just vehemently defend as if that's something that's just American as apple pie, right? But it's
not me,
right,
buddy. I'll shut it down and call it communism and tell you it's satanic, and those engaging in it should be arrested for their criminal activity. That's what I'll tell you, sir.
Oh, that, there you go. There you go. So, yeah.
But it is tax day, and it's interesting to note. Right. It's interesting to note that about 100 years ago, the tax day kind of kicked off, kind of the same time that honest money came into vogue, if you will, Brian.
Yeah, how convenient, huh? You know, it seems like there's been a lot of, what do we call, dozens of empires out there who have gone from gold to their fiat currency, and how many of those have survived?
What do you say to that, Eldon?
Yes, and not very many. You look at Zimbabwe and all these countries that have just debased their currency and printed up a bunch of phony dollars or phony whatever they want to call their currency. And it just devalues it. Yeah.
All right. It's interesting to note, well, ladies and gentlemen, that 100 years ago, instituting the income tax, thenewamerican.com writes an incredible article that chronicles kind of the history and the ill-positioned reality that the income tax has become, Eldon.
Yeah, basically, for much of the history of the United States, with the exception of the Civil War, we had no direct taxation on income. The federal government was funded by tariffs. Now, it's kind of funny, the people that are kind of libertarian type of free market, I don't know what you would call them, but they fancy themselves as free market type folks, and they say, well, tariffs are terribly bad. Tariffs are, well, okay. Do you like having income tax then? Was that preferable to funding the U.S. government? The thing with the tariffs is it was an indirect tax. People could actually choose how much consumption they would have and actually avoid that tax to a certain extent. With the income tax that we have today, it's a direct tax. You cannot avoid it. Other than there's an actually interesting quote. I have to dig it up here. Basically, when it was being debated, one of the congressmen said that, you know, I think this tax is not so much about raising revenue, because we really haven't had that much difficulty raising revenue through through tariffs, but this is more about social change. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that why Marx wanted it? He wanted to change society. And look at all
I think a lot of it's about social change.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's about using it as a whipping stick. You know what? You generate fear via the income tax that, oh, Brian, we're going to come and take all your possessions and kick in your door and haul your wife off. And, you know, you better comply under penalty of perjury there, Brian. And so it's a fear factor, and it's become kind of a leverage point for bureaucrats to get back at and persecute / prosecute those who they don't like and those who seem to oppose them and such like that. So I agree that they want to change society to a socialist utopia lie. Eventually, the tyranny of communism becomes the friend of socialism and the companion and reality check, as both roads lead to the same end game. Nevertheless, they want to use it, though, as a fear factor point as well. When the people are in fear of their government, tyranny is the result. Brian, you want to respond to that first?
Well, I think so. Yeah, you create the IRS, and, you know, people, you know, the word IRS comes in, and that's, oh, wow, that's fear. That's that group that's going to come and dig into everything I've got, and then they pick and choose what they're going to take. And yeah, no, there's that fear factor. You know, but, you know, it's interesting. I mean, as you can see, the reckless abandon and just create money at any given rate, they can't, the government can. But, boy, if I want to start creating my own coins and so on, they're going to come and shut me down, and because I can't compete with that. They're going to tax me or find some kind of thing that I didn't pay quite right or something. I don't know. Yeah, there is a fear factor, right? That's kind of what they've created. But isn't that part of that socialistic change? And yeah.
You think we'll ever get rid of the income tax, Eldon? I find that part of the Communist Manifesto, but not part of the United States Constitution. I agree with you that we should have tariffs at the border to pay for the proper role of very limited, a very small federal government. The other way that I think taxes can be legitimate, it would be an apportionment tax, which means that you would come to the states and you would say, listen, Sam, there's 330 million people in America. There's 3 million in Utah. So you have, you know, 3 million of 330 millionth taxes for your state. Here's the number, state. Now, state, you can work with your people to get it. And so they would just simply send out a notice that says, hey, based on the fact that, you know, you're one 330 millionth of the nation, here's the amount we need to have. Here's your apportionment based on that. And, you know, I think apportionments aren't direct either. It's based on the census. It's not based on personal information. I think there's a way we could go about that. And then the federal government would receive the money from the state. But the state would then have the power of the person say, upon good behavior, we'll go ahead and share with you our apportionment. Now, you better behave. We would have a lot of control that way, and it would not be direct. And that's the second tax I can think of that could be, to some degree, legitimate. I'd go for tariffs first, apportionment taxes second. Every other tax, though, I find to be flat-out grievous to be borne, sir.
Yeah, I would agree. And actually, that's apportionment taxes, how things used to be done. And states had some control over that. There were, for several of these instances in the past, what the federal government said is, we'll give you a 15% discount if you collect the tax yourself rather than having federal officers come and collect them. And so some of the states took the discount. Some did not. But yeah, it had to be the 16th Amendment, which allowed the federal government to get rid of that. Or to get rid of that prohibition against direct taxation that way. So far as whether we'd ever get rid of it, yes, it's definitely possible. We'd have to amend the U.S. Constitution, or at the very least, we would have to have a change in the way people view their government, the federal government and its role. We're working on that throughout the country with the John Birch Society, educating people. One of the things we got is the Constitution is a Solution series, which I would recommend everyone see. You can see it in groups. You can see it online at jbs.org. But that is a very, very good foundation, at least, of some basic principles. Let's say 20% of the population were to see that, or 10%, I would think, we would have a significant shift in our government, and people would wake up and say, wait a second, we don't need all this stuff. We just, you know, the federal government should just be very small, and we wouldn't have any justification for the taxes either to pay for all that.
Hey, Brian, do you think they will at some point in America call a halt to the con game, sir?
Well, I think they're going to push. It seems to be they're going to push as hard as they keep pushing, and maybe fear's the factor or what. But I think, you know, at some point, it seems like at some point we get pushed to the wall, and I think we start, you know, coming together and saying, you know, enough's enough. We're done. We're gonna fight. Stand up and fight. And I'm just irritated at the fact of our elected officials who promised and said, okay, we're going to help you do this, have just gone silent, and they seem to it's the good old boy club, and that's about where we're at. So
sad, yeah. Tale to tell, yeah. Brian and Eldon Wright, you got to go, Brian.
I got to run, but hey, you guys are awesome. Keep up the good work.
We'll let you fly. Brian Rush, RushQuentinGift.com, ladies and gentlemen. You want an honest buddy in the coin business? You got it. Compliments of Liberty Roundtable Live. Thanks, Brian. All right, there he goes. When we come back, I want to talk about the ratification of the 16th Amendment a little bit, and I want to document the lies that they perpetuated to peddle the dishonesty. We'll talk about it.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust, RustCunningF.com, had to fly. Eldon Stahl, still with me. Field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, that website. They're also creators of the incredible magazine. It's one of the in-print still, but online still, magazines that's just premier, killer, in-depth reporting. TheNewAmerican.com. TheNewAmerican.com is where you go. And we're talking about the income tax, because it's income tax day, although they put it off for most Americans because of the COVID. Nevertheless, it's still as abusive on May 17th as it would have been on April 15th. So it's still bad news, but they've delayed the abuse, if you will. But the ratification of the 16th Amendment is very interesting, and it has caused profound changes in our society. Folks don't even know what America used to look like, is the point. But look, they peddled the lies. They said it was a tax on the rich. Well, that didn't turn out to be reality. They said, hey, you know what? It's a temporary tax. We got to have it because of the war. So it came out long before World War II, but they really kind of ratcheted it up and said, hey, we got to have this now. So they implemented it back when the Federal Reserve, the fake money system was created back in like 1913. But then it really wasn't in vogue. It was kind of played with and tampered with and talked about and, you know, starts and stops a little bit. But really in World War II, they said, we got to have it to pay for the war, by golly. Got to have it to tax the rich, and we got to. And they said it was a temporary tax that, well, we're still waiting for the temporary nature of it there. So I don't think we need an amendment to get rid of it. All we got to do is say, hey, we don't need the tax anymore. It was temporary, and so we're just going to get rid of it. I think it would be very easy to do because of the temporary nature of the way they pitched it in the beginning. Eldon, your thoughts? You with me, Eldon? All right, we'll try to get Eldon back.
Is that better?
Here.
Sorry about that.
Yes, sir. We can hear you. No problem. I think Eldon was just muted, talking away. There you go, sir. We got you. No problem. So I'm saying that because they pitched it as a temporary tax, it would be very easy just to say, hey, it was temporarily in place. I know it was 100 years temporary, but hey, we're not going to have it anymore. I think it would be easy to do without an amendment because of the temporary way they sold it to us in the first place. Your thoughts?
Well, Congress, yes, could just get rid of it. We could put enough pressure on Congress and they could stop it because the 16th Amendment does not obligate the Congress to implement the tax. It just says Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on income from whatever source derived without apportionment, without regard to any census or enumeration. So that's the 16th Amendment. It doesn't say Congress is obligated.
Must, or has to, right.
Yeah. But it does empower the Congress to do that, to do something it was not empowered to do previously.
Yeah, there's a lot of loopholes and debates surrounding that as well. But I want people to understand how it was pitched. It was pitched as a temporary tax. It was pitched to tax the rich. It was pitched as a very, very tiny, tiny tax. So people kind of said, hey, that makes sense. But the ratification of the 16th Amendment and really the promotion of the income tax caused profound changes in America. And the real intention, in my opinion, is to put one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto into the American society and way of life. And that's really the problem that I have with it is, hey, taxing my income is unconstitutional. It's the way, there's 10 ways that you push to make a nation communist. Income tax, inheritance taxes, et cetera, those are the ways they make a nation communist. Those are the ways they peddle tyranny. Those are the way the government gets enough money to be above the people and then use that wealth, that war chest against the people. And that's what we're seeing today, Eldon.
Yeah, and you know, one interesting side note of that is that the people that are pushing for a constitutional convention, they'll say, well, we can trust these states that are led by Republicans. They would never ratify, you know, 38 states would never ratify some bad amendment. Well, here we have your great example, the 16th Amendment. And I was in South Dakota at the time, so I looked up, got the journal records. Every single, and it was like, what, 90-some percent Republican at the time, every single legislator present at that time in South Dakota voted to ratify the 16th Amendment. Every single one. And it was overwhelmingly Republican. Those are the ones that voted for it. Similar in many states. So,
and it was a Republican Supreme Court that literally promoted Roe versus Wade and said that we can murder babies too, by the way.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So, you know, people promote, they say, well, we can trust Republicans. I don't know. Track record doesn't speak that strongly on that.
Amen to that. Now, the other thing that's interesting is there's a whole lot of debate on if the 16th Amendment was truly properly ratified as well. I don't know if you know, but Red Beckman and others, you know, put together a whole book on this where they went to every state and confirmed that, hey, you know what, we were told that states ratified it that didn't really follow the proper process to ratify it. So that's even in question at this point.
Yeah, there's some people that, you know, see that. I don't know. I don't have any inside information on, you know, I don't have a time machine, but, I've just been able to look at what's at least officially on the record in South Dakota. And it's like, oh, well, fortunately, I think Utah did not ratify the 16th Amendment, which, you know, good on them, right?
Absolutely. Hey, we'll take any good we can get, that's for sure. The real point to be made, in my opinion, is this. What the income tax does is gives the government way too much money. And when they have this big war chest, then they just find ways to use that money against the people. Let me give you an example. The Pentagon, the DOD, created via DARPA. I don't know if you know this, but they created a chip that goes under your skin. It's going to be released in 2021, and this chip monitors your blood and will tell you if you have the COVID before any symptoms show up. I don't know if you know, but DARPA and the Pentagon, the DOD, with your tax dollars, created this chip. Did you know that, Eldon?
I haven't looked into that, but yeah, tell me more about that.
Well, that's the deal. They just created a chip. Just type in DARPA or DOD and just type in, you know, COVID chip or whatever. And it's basically, there's headlines all over the internet about it where the Pentagon via DARPA created this chip. They were tasked with how to get rid of the you know, these pandemics behind us or whatever. So the DARPA, D-A-R-P-A, chip, COVID, is what you type into Google, and hey, you'll get all kinds of information. The headline says, DARPA displays human implant. DARPA continues to work closely with the Department of Defense.
Doesn't surprise me, but...
Yeah.
Wow. That's,
Pentagon that's, scientists... invent a microchip which can sense the COVID. DARPA implantable microchip to detect Wuhan virus. Pentagon reveals microchip under skin that detects the COVID. Pentagon unveils microchip that can detect COVID. A DARPA-funded implantable biochip to detect COVID-19. I mean, there's just headline after headline after headline. Yeah.
Well, we don't need any of that,
FDA.
Obviously. I mean, that kind of goes along with the passport thing, right, that they're pushing.
Yeah. They say FDA to approve syringe injectable chip. I mean, this is just insanity stuff. That's what they're doing with the extra tax dollars they have. And this is kind of why I say we're allowing government to run amok with this income tax money. They've got too much money. We need to rein in the federal government by defunding a significant part. One of the best ways would be to get rid of the income tax. Now, Ron Paul. Not Rand, that's the son. Ron, the father. Ron Paul had a big debate with Glenn Beck over this very issue. And Ron's like, let's just abolish the IRS. And then Glenn's like, well, what would you replace it with? And Ron said nothing. And Glenn laughed at Ron and said, you know, you're ignorant. We got to have the money somehow. You can't just get rid of it. And Ron said, you know what? We're not even using that money to pay for the proper role of government, and I can prove it. Why don't you go do your research, Glenn? You're a little bit ignorant on this. And believe it or not, Glenn Beck did the research and came back and admitted I was wrong. Ron Paul was correct.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Well, it's a good point that Ron Paul made, you know. And another thing, side of that, as you go back in the history, before the income tax, often the federal government ran surpluses. They actually had more money than they needed without all this huge amount of infusion of cash. And nowadays we look and say, well, somehow they don't have enough money for all that they are doing or want to do. How is that? We're giving them just tons and tons of money, but they're still insatiable.
So, well, buddy, when you build bridges to nowhere, and when you go ahead and create, you know, chips under your skin to monitor your blood for the COVID virus and stuff like that, and you have endless projects, anything in between that you're spending money on and funding and everything else, are you surprised when they run out of cash?
Yeah, it's like somebody that with their home budget or lack of budget, they just, you know, they can either run it as with the idea of, well, I have endless supplies of cash because I have this magic thing called a credit card and I can just charge whatever and never have to pay for it. Or you can run it with the idea of reality that, you know, really we have a limited amount of money coming in and we're going to actually plan and use it only for specific things. So that's what's happened with the federal government. It's a change of the education of we the people. Largely, I would say, with the institution of public schools, government schools from the 19th century, most people are educated, propagandized, and thinking, well, the federal government should be able to do whatever it wants. Doesn't matter what the Constitution says. And that's where we are until we change that way of thinking. I would say a mass exodus from the government schools would help out greatly with that. That we're going to see this problem continued, and people just saying, "Well, the government should just fund, basically be Santa Claus and do whatever it wants and send us money."
Now, I got an interesting question for you to answer before the end of the hour, Eldon. Here it is: the First Amendment guarantees me freedom of the press. That means it doesn't say except for if you want to print money. It doesn't say that. It just says I have freedom of the press, so can I just print money myself? The answer clearly is no, right? You can, but you'll go to jail. The answer is no. So the government's one that has that authority, but yet they can only gain authority from us. They get their authority from the consent of the governed. That's us, right? How do they have authority that we don't have?
Well, actually, the federal government... yeah, constitutionally only has power to coin money, not to print up bills of credit.
And that's why I ask about this dollar scenario to say, hey, which is the real dollar? You have power to create the Federal Reserve note, not. You have power to create the Treasury minted Silver Eagle silver dollar. And it takes 38 fake ones to buy one of them real ones now. And that's why I'd be interested to ask Joe Biden the real question is, hey, which one is the real dollar, sir? Let's get rid of the fake news stuff immediately, shall we? By the way, it is tax day, ladies and gentlemen. What a shameful day in America. We're kind of mourning that day. We're highlighting the history and the reality. And hopefully Americans one day will wake up and call a halt to the con game and reject the Communist Manifesto planks and return to the supreme law of the land. The truth shall make us free. Honest money is the issue. Honesty is the issue, for that matter. Eldon Stahl with me, JBS.org, thenewamerican.com, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. We've got a couple interesting things to talk about. We want to talk about state nullification. We want to talk about protecting law enforcement for the good that they do. We'll do it all in seconds. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.